Hello, I'm Stu Sensei, and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast, the place that helps you unlock your English ability. Let's crack on with the show. Hello, thank you for joining today. This is the Stu Sensei English Podcast, and I have a special guest with me today. We're going to go over a few topics and hopefully help you out as best as we can. So today we have Will. Hi, Will.
Hello, Stu. How are you? Before we get started, I want to thank you very much for inviting me to your podcast. And I hope that those listening will find this informative and they will have key takeaways to help them on their English journey.
I'm sure they will. Definitely so. So obviously, I'm Stu. If anyone who's plugged in for the first time, I'm Stu Sensei. I've been a teacher for 6 years. I'm from England and now I live in Japan. How about you, buddy? Can you tell us a bit about your background and why you became a teacher?
Sure. My name is Teacher Will. I hail from the United States of America. I've been a teacher since 2011. I currently reside in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. And what made me become a teacher? Interestingly enough, I had, to be honest, Stu, and those listening, I had no desire to be a teacher, even though for years and years and years, people said, oh, you're going to be a teacher. You're going to be a teacher. I was like, no, no way. Not enough money. Don't have the patience. My mother said, rest in power, said you were going to be a teacher. But I was in the business world for years, for about 20 years. What made me become a teacher? Interestingly enough, for those that were alive, remember 2008, there was a financial crisis. I needed a job to take care of myself and family. So I went back to school and I got my TESOL certification and basically started my teaching career. And how I ended up in Saudi Arabia, it's been my first international assignment. There were three countries I was looking at: China, South Korea, and Saudi Arabia. China at the time seemed too far away. I was like, that was just too far from home. South Korea, growing up in America, I had the opportunity to know a lot of South Koreans. So I ended up in Saudi Arabia for two primary reasons. One, the job offer I received at the time was the most beneficial financially. And secondly, I said, hey, Saudi Arabia, completely different culture, completely different part of the world. So that's how I ended up in Saudi.
Such a different culture. Yeah, I mean, like it's a really feels like the other side of the world, which it felt like for me when I came to Japan as well, you know, super different. So
exactly. No, and very quickly, what I would say is that I would encourage anyone, whether they, you know, if you have an opportunity to live outside of your own country or your own culture, whether it's Saudi, whether it's Japan, definitely do it. I mean, I think that, you know, it's definitely made me appreciate a lot of things. And it's made me learn about different cultures. And beautiful thing is that if you say live again in Japan or Saudi or elsewhere in the world, one of your ways of communicating is through English because it's a global international language.
Definitely so. I think it's obviously going to be useful. It's, you know, an interesting thing is I was reading a book today and it said in something like 2006, there wasn't even a billion speakers of English, like learners or native speakers, and already in just like 10-20 years we're at 2 billion, close to, or over 2 billion. So it just shows how much English has become important since the arrival of the internet more than anything.
Truly. No, I think definitely with the internet, digital age, social media, English has grown exponentially. And so when learners ask the question, I'm sure they've asked me, and I'm sure they've asked you as well, oh, is English important? Is English important? Well, you know, research shows if 75% of the internet is in English, if English is used for business, communication, aviation, entertainment, it's not that English is not important. The answer to that question is yes. Research shows that. The question is, I believe, is that does a learner find English important to him or her? And if so, to take the necessary steps to do it. But yes, English has grown exponentially within the last, you know, 10 to 20 years, last two decades.
100%. What inspires you to help students on social media? Because you're obviously on Instagram. That's how we know each other. That's where we found each other. So, and for a couple of years now, or for 2 or 3 years, yeah, we've known each other. So,
yeah. What inspires me very quickly? I had no desire to be on the internet. I thought I was too old. I didn't think I was an effective teacher. Shout out goes to five individuals that are part of the core. They were like, hey, Teacher Will, you need to get on the internet. I was like, yeah, okay. But I've been on since August 30th, 2016, and it's actually been a blessing. What inspires me? Hopefully, you know, and you would have to ask the people that are part of the ATW family, but hopefully my content across the various different social media channels that I'm on will motivate people, inspire people with their English goals and with their English journeys. I mean, I hope that when people watch my content, they recognize and realize that, hey, you know what? I can learn this language. I can learn English. And whether or not in content I'm lip syncing or dancing or acting very serious, it will really motivate them. And last thing I would say is I hope when people, you know, view my content that their mindset is changed, because I do think that in terms of learning English, and someone who also knows to speak another language other than English, I think mindset is extremely important. How a learner thinks about themselves, their approach to English, and having really an aspect of positivity, I think is very important. So throughout it all, that's, you know, that's what inspires me to, you know, hopefully give back, because people have given back to me.
You touched on a couple of interesting things, but I'd love you to tell everyone a bit more about the ATW family. What does that mean? And what does it mean to you, I should say?
So Ask Teacher Will stands for As Teacher Will, okay? And so I'm on Instagram, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Snapchat. With the exception, that's all of my social media, with the exception of TikTok, where I'm ATW1.0, because I thought that it was like a new improved version of myself. So that's all of my social media. So how did I come up with ATW, As Teacher Will? I don't personally believe in the word fans.
Me neither. I've always hated it.
I don't like that. I have no desire to be famous. And I don't believe in the word fan, because I, you know, certainly I don't want to be hypocritical. I'm on social media and I enjoy it, but I do think that social media, sometimes I think the downfall, and from my perspective of social media, it feels like, oh my God, you're this star. You're like, oh my God, you're Hollywood. I'm none of that. So I didn't believe in the word fan, and I don't believe in the word follower, because ultimately people that choose to be part of this and choose to look at your content, that content is free, and I understand that. So the reason why I came up with ATW family, because for me, that works. It just reminds me of families too. Like, you know, there's certain members in your family, your aunt, your uncle, your mother, your father, your children, that you might be extremely close to and you see all the time and you talk to and things of that nature. And then you have other family members, you know, that you might only see at, like, unfortunately, like funerals or weddings or family reunions. So for me, it worked. And, you know, it's kind of like I've tried to, since I've been on social media, I've tried to, you know, instill or create a sense of community. Hmm. And I think that's a beautiful thing as it relates that social media can do in terms of establishing community. So family works for me. And not all the time, you know, I certainly would think, you would have to ask the ATW family. I certainly would think there are times that the family, we've agreed on things. We've disagreed on things, you know, like, and that's fine. It's like a family. So that's how I came up with it.
I understand. And you also mentioned about that you like to dance, you like to sing in your videos.
Sometimes.
What do you think that creates? Because the image of a teacher, from what I remember when I was at school anyway, is this guy in a suit with the whiteboard. But do you think the role of the teacher has kind of modified a bit?
I think with the, well, that's a great question. I think with the advent of social media, I think that this generation in particular, because you and I are of a particular age, so I definitely agree with you, that, you know, the definition of a teacher, whether male or female, has certainly changed. But I think with the advent of social media, education and all content, I would say, has become into education. Like, it's, social media is very much for entertainment, and I think that people need to understand that. For a very long time that I didn't. That's not right or wrong. It's just kind of like, you know, your audience. So I will be the first to sit back and say that, yes, do I entertain in my videos? Yes, I do. Yet, with that being said, there is usually an educational component. And so I think as a teacher, it has allowed me to explore the different sides of Teacher Will, whether I dance, whether I lip sync, whether I'm serious, whether I'm passionate. I don't get angry in content, ATW family, even though contrary to beliefs. But no, I think it's changed. And I do think that I don't have a problem doing that. What I would say is that, at least for me, again, is that educational component is always there. And what sometimes alarms me with respect to content, and learners can follow and listen to whatever they want and content that and people that they choose to follow. Yet what I would hope is sometimes a drawback is that they forget, not all learners, but a lot of learners forget the educational aspect. And so if you're not singing or you're not yelling or you're not, you know, have a beautiful background or whatever, it's become visual that for some learners, it's become so visual and so entertainment that the message of education or the message that a content provider is trying to deliver is sometimes lost. So that's why a lot of my content that I do, I go the full mode. I mean, you know, a video recently that I dropped was, there was no singing, there was no lip syncing. It was just like straight content in a way that I thought was educational. And so that's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, 100%. I think we're kind of privileged to have the opportunity to have a different style of teaching, to be honest, because it has been so one way and some people don't like to go out of that system.
Definitely, you know? Definitely. And I would say from a teacher's perspective, i.e. a person delivering content or making content, I do think it offers flexibility and allows a person to get out of his or her comfort zone or experiment different ways of how they want to teach. What I would say is that I think that the learners need to be aware of that, because there are, you know, when you say English teacher, right, there is, whether it's right or wrong, from my opinion, the following statements, people that I'm going to make are my own. I stand by them. They are my truth. It's not the truth. With that being said, I think, Stu, what you mentioned is very interesting. When most people, and in my opinion, when most people think of like teachers, they think of like a particular way, a particular region, a particular accent, a particular hue, all of that other, delivering content in what I would call a very traditional way. So learners have an opportunity, if they so do choose, to be open to the diversity of teaching styles and the diversity of content delivery, and allow themselves, if they want, to really allow themselves to get out of their comfort zone and experience the diversity of teaching and then how content might be delivered. I think that's really the challenge, because a lot of learners, not all, but I think a lot of learners are, you know, well, why are you not doing it this way? Or that's not the teacher I have in school. Well, okay. You know, there's a very famous song that just came to my mind, you know, by In Vogue. Free your mind. I won't sing because I'm on Stu's podcast, but, you know, free your mind and the rest will follow. And so I think that learners, you know, wherever they are, however old they are, wherever in their English journey, they have the ability to free their minds and be open to the diversity of teaching styles and not just one particular way, method, region, teacher, whatever. But ultimately, the learners will decide.
Congratulations on reaching the halfway point of this podcast. There's still more great content to come, with Teacher Will talking about pronunciation with me, so we can give you some great tips there. But speaking of pronunciation, I want to introduce to you today's sponsor of the podcast, which is Elsa Speak. Now, I know many of you want to improve your pronunciation, and that's what I'm here to help you with. And I'm here to suggest Elsa Speak to you today, because I also actually really believe in this app. One of the things I love about the app is the fact that it doesn't just focus on pronunciation. You know, when you're practicing, sometimes you really just focus on one sound and try to improve it. But this app not only picks out what errors you make within pronunciation, but also helps you with your fluency and intonation and gives you feedback instantly. Now, we know that to improve things like pronunciation, we need the right people around us. And another great feature on this app is its community feature, which allows you to add friends, like-minded people, to help support you if ever you have any issues with any words. It's great to have the right people around you, because they can help push you through even the tough times, and have that feature there as well on the app makes it even more easier to help improve your pronunciation today. Now, that's enough of me gushing over it. All I want you to do now is go and test it out for yourself. On my profile on the podcast, you can get a free week's practice on the app and test it out for yourself. Just touch the link, it will send you straight there and you can give it a go yourself. Now back to Will and me talking about pronunciation. So a lot of students come to me and ask about pronunciation. You know, it seems to be very important at the moment. It seems to be something that many students worry about. Traditionally, we think everything has to be done with a teacher, but do you think these days, with all the technology we have, that improving pronunciation can be done at home?
Most definitely. Okay, great question. So let me dive into this in a little bit. So with respect to pronunciation, let me say it like this. Pronunciation to me is important. It is based on, it's one of the components, it's one of the components of fluency. What becomes important to me is that from my perspective, whose mother tongue is English and who knows how to speak French, fluency, the ability to communicate, in this case, English, with ease, the same way that you communicate your mother tongue, is important. Under fluency is clarity, the ability to be understood, intonation, the rise and falling of your voice, enunciation, how you stress particular words or syllables, and then actually the aspect of pronunciation, how you pronounce or say words in English. So yes, to me, it is extremely important. There are overall three ways in which a learner can he or she improve their English and or their English journey as it relates to pronunciation or any other aspects. So I'm answering your question. Number one, you can do self-study. So if a learner has a desire to improve their pronunciation, what can they do by themselves? There's a virtual plethora, myriad, various information on social media that is afforded to a learner where they actually can do pronunciation on their own. What can they do? There's a technique that you and I are aware of, Stu, and I'm sure other learners might be as well, studying, mimicking, and copying. So whomever you decide you think is a good pronouncer of English, regardless of their nationality, notice I said that, hear that, learners, regardless of their nationality, they can mimic, copy, and shadow, make, you know, try to imitate the sound and then make it their own. That's number one. Another aspect in terms of self-study is that one aspect is to understand the phonetics of English and how the words are pronounced and sound or used. Again, various different videos on that. Another way to improve one's pronunciation, you can record yourself, and I would actually say make a video of yourself, record yourself, and therefore look at what sounds are being produced and also your body language and compare it to someone that you think is a good pronouncer of English. Why do I say actually make a video of yourself? Because what happens is think of your native language, those listening. When you communicate, there's two forms of communication, verbal communication, what comes out of your mouth, and nonverbal communication. Having an understanding of that is very important. Another aspect to improve your pronunciation or do it by yourself, you can do something that's fun, which I like to do. You can sing songs. If you have a copy of the lyrics next to you, it's good because it's a great way that you can produce the sounds, improve your pronunciation through fun. So those are particular aspects that you can do as it relates to self-study. If you feel as a learner that your pronunciation is not where you want it to be, or you're feeling that you have difficulty, then what you can do is, if it's your desire, if you have the time, if you have the resources, if you feel as though that you want to make an investment in yourself, you can go to a language school or a language institute where hopefully someone there in that language school will help you improve your pronunciation, give you a sense of confidence. Another option for you is that, again, so you have self-study, you have a language school, you have a language institute. If you feel that you need additional help or support, then you have an opportunity to find a teacher, a coach, a tutor online, face-to-face in your city to help you with your pronunciation. I say all that to say is the following, is that oftentimes learners, to your original point, Stu, oftentimes learners have this need with respect to pronunciation, and some learners feel trapped. They don't know where to begin. They feel a sense of insecurity or shyness. My point is that learners, you have three ways to improve your pronunciation. Again, self-study, language school, institute, or teacher. Find the way that works best for you. And if you are comfortable only doing self-study, not a problem. But yet, if you're not, again, if you're not comfortable where you feel as though your pronunciation is correct or you're getting the right nuance, then govern yourselves accordingly with the other. But yes, at the end of the day, there's tons of material out there to use. So yes, it's possible to do self-study.
Okay, great. Do you think, like we traditionally, and I say we, but traditionally the ESL industry polarizes the pronunciation side of thing and just is just very vague as well when they say British and American English, because there's so many varieties of both and there's so many other varieties out there in the world. Do you think that this can cause a problem for someone who's trying to practice pronunciation on their own, because maybe they don't know that there's 40 accents, 40 different ways to say something in the UK and multiple different ways in America. And maybe they're doing a bit of both. They could be trying to practice with an Australian speaker, an American speaker, and a British speaker. Do you think that these cause issues?
Okay. Well, I might say something that most learners might not have necessarily thought of, or certainly we can agree to disagree. If you're part of the ATW family, I like to, you know, encourage people to think critically or outside of the box, or kind of expanding on what we said. I think what is important in my own journey is, and I'll use myself, for me, one of the things I had to understand, and I'll take this perspective as a learner and then also as a teacher. So when I was learning French, you know, back in the day before the world of the, you know, social media and the digital, you know, explosion of all of this, you know, content that's free and applications. When I was learning French, what was important to me is that I wanted to have the right pronunciation in French. I did not worry about having a quote unquote native French accent or producing like the sound, like, okay, I want French accent. No, for me, I just kind of like, I wanted to be able to produce, you know, the sounds in French, whether it was accent aigu, accent grave, for example. I say that because, you know, language, whether it's French or in this case, particular English, the goal of a language from my perspective is to communicate one's thoughts, wishes, desires, okay? For me, I think what happens, so that's from a learner's perspective. When I got into the world of ESL, one of the things that I noticed when I first started, and again, this was back in 2006, is that I saw a lot of content, and content providers can do whatever he or she wants to do. I saw a lot of content providers, you know, accent, British accent, American accent. And I think from my own sense of integrity, I think what I've learned as a teacher is a couple of things. Number one, it is important from my perspective, and not only from my perspective, but research, linguistically speaking, shows there is a difference between accent and pronunciation. And oftentimes I think what happens is that learners conflate the two, think of them as the same, whether that is blind ignorance or whether they're unaware or whether they have been respectfully conditioned into a particular parameter of what English should be. Accent, for me, the definition is the distinctive way in which you speak, a person speaks. I would relate it to their mother tongue. Let's say, for example, that you speak Japanese, you speak Arabic, you speak French. Let's say, for example, I live in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. People in Jeddah have a different accent than people in Riyadh. The accent is different. I would make the argument it's part of their who they are. Your accent is part of your identity. It's shaped by your cultural, socioeconomic levels, education levels, and other factors. But yet, why a person, if they're a native Arabic speaker or native Japanese speaker, they're able to speak to each other. Why? Because they are fluent in their respective language, and they know how to pronounce the words in the respective language. English is no different. So I think sometimes for me, accent and pronunciation are different. They are confounded. Now, to your next point, with respect to whether, and you make a valid point, Stu, whether, you know, it's British accent, British pronunciation, American pronunciation. What I say, what I believe, and again, this is just my thought, my perspective. What I believe is that one has an opportunity, if they want, to speak English naturally. I believe it's important to pronounce your words naturally before natively. Now, let me say, there are those individuals out there that have a desire to sound like a native or have a native accent. Personally, I have no problem with that if they choose to do that. But that having a native accent is something that is optional, not mandatory. Now, some people make the argument, but that's for another, you know, live stream if you invite me back.
But don't you think that when they say something like that, they don't actually mean the, I always take it, they don't actually mean the accent. They just want a high level of success using language, and they attribute accent or pronunciation as part of the way to being highly successful because they see that's the way it being communicated.
I think that is an excellent point that you mean. And I think that is a variable, yes. And I would say, from my perspective or in my opinion, I think that what is important to understand, at least from my perspective, is that there's a terminology, whether people agree with it or not, is I think two things. Number one, native speakerism exists. For those that don't know what that means, is that it, you know, it is a belief that if you have a particular, if you have a native speaking accent, in this case, typically like British or American, then that is considered the gold standard. That is considered something where you will achieve a level of success. That will be the thing where, you know, you'll fit in, you'll not be isolated, you'll get the job and hopes of your dreams. And so from that is that also that I think that if native speakerism exists, and, there, and it's not just what I think, there's tons of scholar, you know, scholarship or scholarly information on that. The next factor is that, hey, you know what, that having a native accent is, you know, British or American, is will give me the tools to success where, again, I will not feel as other, that I won't be bullied. Because again, a lot of people listening to this podcast, you know, their English is not their first language. Again, so I do agree that from my perspective, let me say it like this too, because native speakerism exists, because, and as a result, native accent discrimination is a byproduct of that, that yes, there are some people that view it as like, yes, this is the thing that I view as success. But I think there's also another percentage of learners, at least that I've had the opportunity to work with, whether in courses or speak to, is that they literally believe that there's something the matter with them because they're not native.
Yeah. Yeah. I experienced.
And so for me, what I would say is this, if you want to have a native speaking accent, that is great. Figure out what native accent that you want. And then that takes months or years. I'm from America. My mother tongue is English. So in America, for example, there are over 30 different accents as it relates to American accent. Figure out which one you want. It takes months, if not years, to actually produce that sound. But again, what is important to me is that, hey, you speak English naturally, you focus on your fluency, focus on your pronunciation. Last point would be the following. Just because a person has a certain accent, in my perspective, or from my perspective, does not mean that you will be accepted by the greater society, or does not mean that, oh, you'll get the job of your dreams. Because why? There are images out there. Let's, for example, look at Celia, what's her name? The famous Arnold Schwarzenegger, for example, or
I always give him an example. Celia Cruz, someone who's amazingly, you know, famous.
Someone, and yeah,
communicates to many people.
Exactly, who's a famous, and they maintain their accent, and yeah, yet their English, their pronunciation, and their fluency is brilliant. It's, they pronounce words better than I do. So again, I think it's important to understand the difference between the two, and ultimately you have to do what a learner has to do, what works best for them. But I do think it's important to distinguish between the two and recognize that sometimes the, and the reason I say, Stu, final point, the reason I say speak English naturally and not natively, or it's kind of like, you know, I say to the ATW family, when people say, oh my God, Teacher Will, I want to speak like you, I love your accent. When people say that, I'm like, thank you very much. I hope that you prefer my pronunciation, my intonation, my clarity, my body contact. But what I would say at the end of the day is, it's kind of like, listen, there is a psychological aspect where I think you and I are privileged because we were, you know, we were born in native English speaking countries, right? And for me, I do think that sometimes what happens is accent becomes so prevalent and an end desire for people that it sometimes prevents them from speaking English or pronouncing clearly. And also it puts up this thing, well, I'll never be better. I'll never be as good as a native. And I don't think sometimes learners, whether they recognize that, want to admit that or not. And I believe that language is very powerful. And so it, for me as an instructor in this small universe of the ESL community and as a small content provider trying to make a value, I think words are very important and what you say and how you say. So for me, you know, when people come and say, oh, I have native accent, I want to speak, I was like, no, you don't need to speak like me. You need to speak yourself. You need to own your language. And then if indeed you want to have a particular accent, fine, mimic, copy someone. But that's not the end all be all. So I know that was kind of a lot of information, but I hope that helped.
Oh, 100%. It does, because I just want to tap on to the end of what you've said there and finish up with saying, like you said, like the people have this thinking about how speaking like a native is like the top of the pedestal. But I always translate it to being similar to football, as in Cristiano Ronaldo. He has one style of play. And of course, I'd love to play at the same standard as him. But there's many different ways to get to that highest level. And you don't have to do it one way. You know, there's not one method. Same with accent and pronunciation. So you can decide what you want to do. But pronunciation is obviously the key thing to be as clear as possible and improve communication. I think if you're going to focus on anything, an accent doesn't have anything and can. A good example is Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course. And I think that psychology, what you were talking about, comes from us. Like, you know, the countries traditionally through history who have been the most powerful have had the biggest effect on the world, and it gradually goes throughout the world. You know, it's a slow transition. And I think some of that still runs from, like, in the past, early 1900s, where kids in England were being sent to certain public schools to improve their accent, to give themselves a better opportunity. And that was an attitude in the past, but obviously that's changed a lot since back then. Right. But it's still filtering through. And just because of the internet now, obviously that accent was, for me, accent's kind of a marketing term, in my personal opinion. It hits a weak point and people want to improve it. They know they're not as good as what they want to be or what they see as the top of the ladder.
Right.
But we have this new generation of teachers who are trying to explain communication's the key thing. Like, where even if you make errors with your grammar, you're still communicating it excellently well. The art of communication is still at the top level and where it needs to be. That's the key thing, grammar or pronunciation or anything that comes into that.
100%. The only thing I would add on briefly what you said is, not only do I think that it is perpetual, I think it is. You said something, it's a marketing play, it's a marketing tool. And again, content providers can do what he or she whatever wants. But I also think it is perpetuated by the learners itself. You know, having a sense that you're worthy, that you are enough. Recently, I was on a live stream on a particular application, and I had an individual I won't use the name, but they were from China. And this is, you know, I've heard it in China, Japan, other elsewhere in the world, where the learner literally said, I'm not native, I'm not good enough. And I said, wait a minute, hold on a minute. Forgive me my passion. I was like, you are enough. I was like, stop buying into this thing that you're not enough. I said, you are enough. And so sometimes not only is it's perpetuated by the industry as a whole. And again, you know, I've sometimes gotten in trouble from colleagues or learners when I mentioned like native speakerism or accent discrimination. I'm kind of like, that exists. And whether or not a learner wants, he or she wants to deal with that, or the industry wants, I can't fight those particular battles. But I do think it's important at the end of the day, Stu, to say what you said, where it's like, you know what, we give people choices, because sometimes, you know, I've heard it in my own. It's like, oh, I don't like this particular accent from this particular country. I don't like how these particular people speak. Well, wait a minute. If English is a global international language, do learners, I think it's a responsibility of the learners. Representation to me is important. English is a global international language. There's an opportunity if learners want to hear the language, English, the global international language, in all its diversity with different accents and different dialects. Maybe one of the reasons why a particular person doesn't like a particular accent is because they're not used to hearing it. So again,
definitely 1,000. I was literally going to jump on the end and say it's that form of weakness that we all feel when anything that we do in any type of skill where we feel weak, we automatically blame the thing that we can't.
Exactly.
Like, you know, when you're like your car, you can't open the car door and you say, oh, the bloody car again, you know, this attitude we have of everything in life. It's a normal thing, but
exactly. And I, you know, I mean, and I listen, I, again, my mother tongue is English. Listen, have I been, you know, listen, I'm not going to say that, you know, again, it's for aspirational because I do want to be sensitive. I mean, there are certain environments and certain cultures that if you don't have the native accent that, you know, you won't get a job. Your students won't hire you. So I understand that reality. So again, I'm sensitive and I have empathy toward that. And in that particular case, I'm like, listen, you have to do what you have to do. You know, make decisions that work for you, because I can't tell someone, you know, here I am from America and I'm like, okay, I live in William Land, for example. And this actually happened. I was doing a live Instagram one day with a colleague of ours. They're from a quote unquote non-native English speaking country. And he was like, teacher, well, listen, let me break it down to you. He was like, if I spoke English with the same accent that I did my mother tongue, my students wouldn't respect me. I wouldn't get a job because that's what they need. And so how do I argue with that? So, yes, I understand it. But again, I think the responsibility, at least what I try to motivate or inspire to learners, and I'm like, OK, you want representation. You want the different dialects. You want the different accents. It's up to you, the learner. You can get that or you can't. I have nothing against American accent. Obviously, I'm American. But for me, I guess coming from my experience that I have, I just don't want to consciously or subconsciously make someone feel less than. And I hear it all of the time. Just because you're a native or just because a person is a native does not make them a better teacher. Just because a person has been someone, quote unquote, from a non-native English speaking country, it's a job, it's an art. And just because I have, let me say this, final point, because I don't want to get too passionate and Stu throws me off the podcast. Let me say it like this. Just because a person has a native accent, if I have a native accent, great. I have a Northern Jersey accent. Well, that's great. But if I can't pronounce the words, if I'm not clear, if I don't have a sense of confidence, it does not matter what accent I have. And I think that is the thing that I've tried to instill to people that choose to follow me or take some of my courses. It's kind of like own the language, be proud of who you are, focus on your clarity and pronunciation, and then let's worry about accent. Accent is the icing on the cake. I use this video that I did where it's kind of like, hey, you know, think of English as a cake. You have flour, you have yeast, you have eggs. You know, that represents your pronunciation, things of that nature. And then once you get that, hey, people like different toppings, vanilla, chocolate, butterscotch, for example. That's accent to me. But if you don't have the foundation, if you don't pronounce words, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what accent you are or what accent you have. I'm done. I'm sorry, Stu. I was verbose.
I apologize. I think, yeah. Sometimes it's an obsession is probably the best way to put it.
Good.
And I think the key thing is working out how to communicate before you try and do a 100-meter sprint in the Olympics, you know. So Teacher Will had some great points on pronunciation just then. If you want to check out another episode like this, make sure to subscribe to the channel and check out the next episode that's going to come out soon. See you there.